All right, good. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You could write down, I wrote down 5:16 through 21 is what I'm looking at. But actually, I'm just going to give you 17, I think, and 18. And I want to talk about living as a creator. Living as a creator. The point that I want to get through today is you have the potential in a very challenging world to bring the creative power and presence of God into the circumstances around you. I was talking with Mike. Where are you at, Mike? Is he out ushing somewhere? But Mike Sissom and I were talking that we can't fix this world. We're not smart enough. There's a lot of stuff going on that we can't fix. It's very challenging. We really need to have hope and be able to bring hope into the midst of people's lives and our lives, and recognizing that it's, we just need the grace of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the presence of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm really happy to have the sun shining. I feel so much better this time of year when the sun is shining. I know I can be extroverted at times, but most of the time, to be honest with you, I'm kind of an introvert. I like being alone. Yesterday, I didn't leave the house all day. Granted, Pierce and Yai and their two kids and four Japanese students arrived at my house about noon and didn't go home till 9. I didn't want your crazy at the house along with that crazy. So, I like to be by myself. But this time of the year, I don't know about you, once we kind of get through the holidays and the football season is over, which we're kind of back to the old school where it's over around September, maybe you get October. And yeah, you throw your money at those season tickets for all you want. But the reality of it is, you know, you kind of, for me, I don't know, there's some of you that probably have to relate to this, but just kind of get that cloudy thing that moves in here around, you know, the first of the year, and it just settles into the valley, that inversion thing. And I don't know, I kind of want to go into a tailspin till around April. It just seems like there's nothing. You know, what are we shooting for? Spring break. We're shooting for, oh boy, we get to, the sun's going to come out and it gets warm and we get to weed and prune. Get to look forward to that. Mowing the lawn again. You know, it's too cold to go fishing. It's easy to get in a funk for me. It's easy to just kind of not get desperately depressed, but just kind of like in a real nasty funk. Don't want to do anything. Don't really want to, you know, you're just not motivated. I don't know about you guys. Anybody else relate to that? And so I need to remember this reality that I have this creative presence of Jesus that's around me all the time. Then, you know, then we run into things like this situation in Florida and really challenging things that are in culture. And I yearn a lot of times when I see those kinds of things or rough news. I yearn for the days before my days that we didn't have instant information, where, you know, I'm simply just going to have to deal with what's going on immediately next to me and in my social group. You know, I think for me, I'm not so sure we're wired to carry the burdens of the world on us all the time. I think that at that some point, you know, that just gets to us. Jesus was wired to do that. Jesus was the only one, but I think it is so accessible to us to know exactly what's going on around the world. We see images, we read stories, we read stuff that's tragic. We need to take that to prayer, all that kind of stuff. And it is the world we live in, but we were really wired to live in the place of paradise. We were really wired to live with Jesus. And because of our sin, our failure to be in pursuit of Him and in pursuit of ourselves. You know, we just got ourselves disconnected from that thing that gives us the real hope, and we've let this crud enter into the world. Whose fault are these tragedies? Whose fault is stuff that's going on around the world? Is it God's? Why does He let this happen? He doesn't. We do. We do. We do. We let it happen because we've let, you know, we've turned our back on God as a race of people, as a group of people. We've let sin come in. And the only person who can fix that is the creative aspects of God, the fullness of who God is. And we need to turn to God. And in the midst of all this crud that's going on in our lives, immediately or extended, the only real solid, the only real complete foundation we have is to look to Jesus over and over and over and over and over again. And respond to Him. But right now, no matter what, just even within myself, I need to know the creative hope and presence of Jesus in my life. I need to pursue that. I need to have those things. This is my season to go under if I don't. It's my season to go under if I don't. And I don't, a lot of times, I don't really realize personally how much the environment that I'm living in is affecting me, especially this time of year. Until I get a sunny day like this. It's like, whoa, I'm not going to die today. You know? It's not that bad. It lifts in a sense. But I've also discovered there are things that I should be looking to in my relationship with Jesus. And it's so easy to look to all kinds of other things to satisfy my issues. But there are things that I should be looking to in Jesus and doing and pursuing Him that keeps me buoyant and in right perspective in the life that I live on a day-to-day basis. Amen? I'm old enough to have done a lot of things, and I've been a lot of places. And none of that's ever enough in the moment that I live in. It may be exciting at the time. It may even be a spiritual breakthrough in some ways, things that I've been involved with. I mean, I've been involved with guys that have planted churches around the world and planted churches in Russia. And I've, you know, done school assemblies, passing out Bibles in Russia. I've been lots and lots of places. I'm really looking forward to going to Vietnam in a month or so, having been there and meeting with those pastors and being involved with that situation and all that stuff. But none of that is the thing that really brings the buoyancy of God's creation into my life like Jesus. None of those accomplishments or whatever turns out, you know, you're always one. Let me try to say this in a healthy way. I'm just one critical voice about today's sermon away from feeling worthless. I don't get that a lot, you know, but I'm just saying, you ever feel that way? You know, you could have, everything can be going awesome until one person just, and they may not even mean it, that you just interpret it wrong. It's just sets you on the downhill spiral, right? Worship leaders? No? You just had a funny look on your face, so I didn't know if you were. Our self-esteem and our own merits and then the things that we do to make ourselves worthwhile and in the world around us is that fragile, right? But our identity in Christ is not that fragile. Okay, so let's look, you could read this whole scripture later, but let's just look at this, and then I'll give you a few things and we'll be done. But verse 17, verse 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you know Jesus, you've turned to Him, you're dependent on His forgiveness and grace. You realize that you don't have the juice, the ability, the righteousness, the holiness, whatever word you read, the goodness, whatever it is. You recognize that. You realize you need this guy that ultimately paid the price because you've hit the wall in your life in two or three different ways at times. And God bless you, those of you who have hit the wall and recognize that you are powerless to solve your problems and you need Jesus. God bless you. You are fortunate people. You are fortunate people to have been in that place. It may have been painful. It may have been terrible. It may have been awful. You may be there now. You may feel desperate. But that is a cool place to be, to realize how much you need this God who is infinite, who is powerful, who is all-loving, on and on and on, and He has extended grace to you. It is such a cool thing to discover that. And we discover it in bits and pieces, and we discover it in big chunks, and we discover it through time and all that, but just live with that. Don't run from it. Embrace it and go with it. And whenever you find yourself a mess and weak and overcome by the circumstances around you, just recognize the kindness of the love of God and fall down and say, okay, I want this creativity you have. Because this scripture here says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. New creation has come into your life. That's the creation that comes from the Creator God, who created the beautiful universe that we exist in, that we have messed up. But that's the power, the infinite nature. That new creation has come to you. No matter what you have done, no matter who you are, no matter what card life has dealt you, no matter what's going on and on and on, that new creation of the infiniteness of God, do you get that statement? Is there. It's there. It's a theological fact. It's there. The old has gone. And that literally means that it does not need to affect you any longer. I mean, there are still problems here, even though Jesus has defeated Satan on the cross. There are still some stuff going on. I was talking with my friend Roichi Takeda. He just got back from Thailand. Roichi grew up in post-World War II era Japan. He's a pastor. He's 70 years old. He's just retired. We're going to have him come speak here in a couple months sometime and get him on the calendar. He's all over the world now. But he was talking about in the 70s how they found a Japanese soldier still actively involved in the Philippines trying to defeat the enemy, because the last order that was given to him was resist the enemy. And he says, I will not quit doing that until the guy who gave me that order tells me to stop. This was in the 70s. This was 30 years after the war. Living in the jungle, not just surviving, but actively trying to resist whatever powers were there that were still, you know, the enemy during World War II. And luckily, they were able to go to Japan and find his commanding officer, who was still alive. And they flew this guy to the Philippines, and they had a decommissioning ceremony for this guy. And at that point, he says, finally, I can go home and be with my family. Okay? Now, that's incredible dedication. I can't even, I'm like, man, I'm in the jungle. It's like 1 minute, you know, some creepy crawly thing touches me. The heck with those orders. I'm heading to Starbucks, dude. I'm out of there. I don't want that. There were occupation forces and the war were over, but this was still, I'm being trying to be careful because Maki's Japanese, she's sitting over there, and they were the enemy then, but now we're not enemies. Are we enemies? Sometimes we're enemies. No, we're not. If I behave myself, I'm not an enemy? Okay, all right. But the reality was, there was an occupation force in the Philippines and a new government that was entirely set up, and there were still, you know, some guys hanging out fighting the war. And the point of this story is to say, hey, even though, not that you're Satan, Maki. Okay, all right. I go to Japan. It's a very nice country. Going to be there, going to have some raw fish. But the reality of it is even though Satan has been defeated on the cross, there's still some stragglers, there's still some residue, there's still some stuff out there that's dealing with us. So the old has been defeated. It's gone. There's still nasty stuff out there, but the new has arrived. We're in this transitional phase. We're in this process where the new kingdom is coming. It's promised. We're in the end times, quote unquote. We've been living in those since Jesus got back. We're moving towards the new heavens and the earth. And it goes on to say, all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So it says we have been connected to this new creation power, and it is in our lives. We have it, even though it's a bad place, even though there's still some impact. We can still enjoy this process of knowing God now, and we can share it with other people. It's here. We have that new creation stuff that's in our life. What are we going to focus on? It's easy with all of the mass media, with all of the digital data, all the news sites, all the stuff that's going on there, all the false news that comes through. Anybody who has a story, negative or positive, can post it. But most of the things that sell news is not good news. It's usually crazy disaster news. It's usually nasty stuff. We are totally able to get all of this crud coming into our lives all the time. That's the thing that's most prevalent. It's easy to choose the nasty stuff. It's harder to be in tune with the creative, positive stuff. Are you all right, Charlene? You okay? All right. Okay, good. I might need a towel, though. Just kidding. That's humor. Just joking. The creativity of God is what we have been given to us, offered to us, if we pick it up, if we take it. It's there. And some days it's hard to do it, isn't it? Some days it's rough to do it. Well, let's talk about three things real quick that we can do to win. Number one, live creation. Live creation. Choose when you get up in the morning to live in a creative way. Not just like, I'm going to get up and paint. Some of you, that would be awful. That wouldn't be creative at all. You would be siding with the dark side. Just kidding. But we're not talking about necessarily make something or being artistic, although those things can happen. We're talking about choosing to align yourself with the power and presence of God that's positive. That's positive. And I wrote this, let new life seep through your strengths and your brokenness. There are things you're good at, and there's stuff you kind of want to hide, right? Both of those things, God can let new life seep through. How do you do that? Well, you just say, hey, I am going to choose God in all of these circumstances. I'm going to choose and face God. Every relationship that grows and succeeds is not necessarily built on a lot of technical skill. It's built on the reality of choosing to turn and face someone and engage. It isn't necessarily all about saying a lot of words or doing a lot of great things. Women are going to want to say a lot of words. Men are going to want to do a lot of great things to make the relationship good. And those things could be very positive, but they're not a replacement for just being there and being present. Just showing up. One way I learned that was to be a pastor and to visit people in crisis in a hospital. And a lot of times they don't want me to explain to them the theology of why they are suffering some disaster. They just want someone there. A real person, see? Presence is something we don't appreciate as much as we should. And that's what we're talking about when we're saying live creation. Choose to be present in God's creative world, in his creative presence. Be with him. Sit down with him. Don't get so worried about what you're going to say, read, or do. Just be there. Just say, okay, God, in the midst of this hard stuff, or in the midst of this blahness, or whatever it is, I choose to have you present and me be present with you wherever we go today, no matter what we're dealing with. It's recognizing that you can be with God even if those circumstances you are in are not filled with God. The people that you are with, if they're not filled with God, you can be engaging with God and bring the presence of God into those situations. What seeps out of you is what you put in you. Did you know that? What you fill yourself up with is what comes out of you. See? What you put in your spirit affects what you have. Are you exposing yourself to the creativeness and the presence of God? Are you enjoying God? Or are you filling yourself with all of the other junk that's going on out there? All of the negative talk? Or even all of the religious works that says this is what you got to do to be valuable, because that isn't what God wants you to do. Number two, duplicate creation. These notes are not edited by my wife, Matt. She left before I got them done. Duplicate creation. How do you do that? By releasing more of the kingdom of God, more of the creative kingdom of God that you are receiving into the circumstances around you. One really obvious one for a lot of us is to promote others rather than promote ourselves. It's really easy for us to promote ourselves in our weak sense of who we are instead of, you know, because we're distant from Christ. That's where we get our identity. And to use other people to fill up our lives with what we want. Be careful about that. You can strategically find someone to promote, to build up, to give to. People want to feel good and valuable, including you and me and on. But we need to make sure that we speak into the goodness that God has for another person and not just try to build up our own goodness and valuable. Hey, tell me I'm valuable. Lots of times that's what we do. You know, let me serve you or say something nice to you or on, because I want you to tell me that I'm good and valuable. We need to be careful about that. We need to root ourselves in that creativity of God so that we can be honestly giving to other people. Duplicating the creation of God and helping people to have the life of God and the love of God like we do. I like 2 Timothy 2:2 that basically says, hey, tell people, build up other people and tell them and give to them what you've received. What are you duplicating? What are you speaking into the lives of other people? What are you giving to them? Are you filling yourself up first with all of the bad stuff that's going on around the world? Does that become your identity? And then passing that on to other people. We usually do that out of fear. We want to have a partner to make ourselves feel secure. Or are we filling ourselves up with what God has for us? The scripture says, hey, even if really bad stuff takes us out, the kingdom of God is still the kingdom of God, and we've got an eternal hope. Are we encouraging people to love Jesus or know Jesus? And again, these words are kind of tied to a lot of baggage from the past, but about what it means to do that. And so many times we're really negative, and then we go try to say, well, Jesus loves you. And we haven't let that seep out of us into those other people's lives. What are you duplicating? One of the most sobering things for me as a pastor is to hear years ago Pastor Jack Hayford say, "You will disciple your weaknesses into your congregation." Well, that's not good. That's not good. But we do. We disciple our weaknesses and our strengths. We give, we pass on our strengths and weaknesses to the people that are critically key to ourselves, you know, to connected to us, your family, your friends. So that to me says two things. One of them is I need to be honest about that and recognize I can't do this right and be, you know, repent and say, "Jesus, I need your help." And two, I need to be someone who pursues Jesus and lets him transform me with his creative energy, with his creative person, with his creative grace, and have that in my life so that I can pass that on. 2 Timothy 2:2. What are you duplicating? And the last one, speak creation. Speak creation. Speak love and speak life. It sounds like a Helen Steiner Rice card or something in a Hallmark card. "I want to give you good feelings. I hope you have nice vibrations." Whatever, you know. It's with a guy named Steve Fry a bunch of years ago at an airport, a Christian musician guy in Nashville. And he was talking to some lady, and she wasn't follower of Jesus at all, which is fine. But the end of the conversation, as they were talking about some crisis at that time, Steve was very positive, and the lady said to him, "I will send you good feelings." "Thank you. Will they come in the mail?" It was before the internet. "Will there be a courier? Will it be a big box? Will I need a forklift?" We're not talking about that kind of speak life and love. Sometimes speaking life and love is hard words. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's difficult. But I think the easy stuff we all know about. It's super easy to get together and complain. Super easy. Especially if there are three friends and two of them are getting together and the third one is out, and we focus on our self-esteem problem. Because messing around talking about how screwed up the third one is makes us other two feel good, right? Or drama in a family, or church drama, or whatever. It's just easy to talk negatively. It's much easier, even if there is a legitimate concern, a legitimate problem, a legitimate wound in that relationship, it is easier to get with somebody outside of that problem relationship and talk nasty about them, or to talk negatively, or, "I'm just telling you this because I need you to pray for me." Right? You ever done that? "I just need you to pray for me. So-and-so is so screwed up. They're just so, and they're hurting me, and I'm afraid they're going to hurt somebody else. I need you to know all of the juicy details so that you can pray." "Oh, they hurt you too? You think there's, I didn't know how screwed up they were. They were really that? They did that? Oh, goodness, we are so righteous. We need to pray." Oh, girls are laughing in the front row. But we get in that mode. It's easier to get in that mode than to go to that one person and talk about what it is that really needs to be talked about with them. It's easier to be a grumbler and a complainer and talk negatively and not let creation, the presence of God, come in and restore a relationship. It's easier to tear it down than it is to do what we need to do. We need to fight that. That's what it means to speak creation, speak life. It's easier to complain about where you live It's easy to complain about the job you have. It's easy to complain about your kids or your spouse. It's easy to complain about what you have or you don't have. It's a weird deal because I know we live in a broken world and this isn't paradise, but I still want to live in paradise. And I still get disappointed when I don't have enough. Enough. Usually, which means I don't have what everybody says I need to have to be valuable. It's easy to complain about my station in life. It's easy to complain about not having enough. And be negative and I'm thinking of a scripture where numbers of times it just said Jesus couldn't do stuff in people's lives because they were complaining. Well, why was that? Because they plugged into this negative nastiness. And I'm not trying to give you a faith gospel necessarily, but I'm just saying they're plugging into nastiness instead of saying, I'm going to choose to bring in the creativity of God in a bad situation or a rough situation. They choose to plug in. I do it. This isn't like, man, I'm not preaching against you. I'm just telling you what I got to do when it's the sun doesn't shine between January and April. I've got to physically tell myself to not plug in to the stuff that is nasty and not get too plugged into all the news services and whatever, and choose to plug myself into this creative presence of God that created the world, that God says, I am going to use that same presence to recreate the world, to bring it back online in the way I want it. That gift, that challenge, that opportunity we have, that we have been graciously given to Jesus, did not need to die on the cross for us. The Father did not need to reach out to us to give us this opportunity. He could have cut his losses with us. He didn't have to reach us and give us hope. He didn't have to. I know everyone in this room probably feels like from time to time that we're not worthy of it. You're not worthy of it, or at least somebody else that you know or is married to is not worthy of it. But he did not need to do that. He loves us and wants us to have that. We have this incredible opportunity, but yet we are so seduced by the circumstances around it. You, me, everybody. It's a fight. And we need to take those few moments to live it, duplicate it, creativity that God has offered to us. Live it, duplicate it, speak it. So that it at least points us in the right direction to be present with God. To be able to be in a position to keep plugged in. The light doesn't burn if the cord's not plugged into the wall. Right? That's what we need. What a great opportunity. Not an easy one, but a great opportunity. Amen? Why don't you stand up? Lord, even though we have lots of opportunities to unplug from you, and, Lord, I unplug often. Lord Jesus, help us to be able to continually turn our face towards you and receive your grace, power, the creativity of the kingdom of God that brings restoration into the brokenness of our lives and the lives of people around them. Gives hope. Lord, we know that not everything's going to be fixed right now, but we do know that that day is coming. That your true justice and life is really going to happen. That we need to continue to offer that grace and love and creativity towards other people, that none of us are worthy of it, none of us have earned it, but you have offered it to all of us, and oftentimes you have offered it through somebody else. Thank you, Jesus. Let us be that other person that offers it to someone else on your behalf. Lord, I pray for the presence of God, that creative presence of God, to roll into the lives of the people that are here today, Lord, in a way that just gives them hope and gives them opportunity to trust you no matter what's going on in their life at this moment. Bless them, Lord. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.